When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to a Weeby Geeks Network podcast.
Another world, another time, in the age of wonder.
There was once a dream. You could only whisper it. Anything more than a whisper, and it would vanish.
A battle between good and evil.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Where shall I find a new adversary so close to my own level?
Try the local sewer.
You know of the rebellion against the Empire?
The Avengers, Earth's mightiest heroes.
Peace means having a bigger stick than the other guy.
One of these days, I'm gonna have a stick of my own.
I'm Groot.
Welcome to the Neverland Podcast, the podcast for lovers of Disney, Pixar, Marvel, and Star Wars.
I'm glad you're here to tell us these things.
Please welcome your host, Jeremy.
I thought he'd be taller.
Yeah, I can fly.
All it takes is faith. Rust.
Well, if it isn't the Star-Spangled Man with a plan, what is your plan today?
Up to Neverland!
Take your pixie out of your pockets, Neverlanders. Grab your happiest thought. I don't know how you grab a thought yet. I still haven't figured that out, but I keep saying it every week. But with that happiest thought, you sprinkle that pixie dust all around, and we take flight to Neverland. And I, of course, will once again be your guide. I am the head lost boy, Jeremy the Spider Pan. And, of course, you should never fly to Neverland alone because you might run into pirates. So we have some people, it's been a long time. Well, no, you've been around. But look, Lost Boy, we call you Kal-El, but you're Lost Boy Philip. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
And you haven't been on in a while, but it's been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a while.
I can't place it. Oh, but we didn't bring just another Lost Boy. We needed some pixies.
Oh,
hello,
yes.
Pixie Heather.
Hi.
Did we ever give you, we just call you the bio nerd, don't we?
Yes.
Or actually, the Wendy bird.
Wendy nerd is.
The Wendy nerd, yeah.
My official pixie name.
Yeah, because.
Wendy nerd.
I had someone else once try to claim being the Wendy, but you have to be the official Wendy if I'm the band, so
yep.
It makes sense. So I could not let the other person have that honor. Lost Boy Phillips wandering around trying to show us something. I have no idea what that was.
I took a pixie out of my pocket.
Oh, because I actually had a pixie, a keychain in my pocket I got from Skywalking Through Neverland. Hi, Richard and Sarah. I got it as like a contest thing, and I accidentally dropped it and broke it. But it was a really neat little, it was one of those little crystal things that you carved the inside in. It was Tinkerbell. It was so cool. But anyway, so this is going to be a great show today. I had a conversation with Ben, and I can't remember if it was Goodman or whatever, but he's from the UK, and he's
wonderful.
Got a son named Zach. And part of this whole thing that I did over the past 5 weeks, pushing the media promotion and doing a lot more, being more active on Twitter, I met up with him. It's called Zach's Adventures on Twitter, but The Adventures of Zach on YouTube. And this is about a little autistic boy, and they have adventures at Walt Disney World. At least they had one back in May, and I thought it would be appropriate to be able to talk to somebody so we all get a little bit more informed about autism. Also, if you happen to have any autistic children and you think about going to the parks, there's things you can do to make sure that they have a fantastic time. Despite there is someone who was trying to bring a lawsuit against Disney, claim they didn't do enough, but I think we're going to find out today that Disney's doing about all they can, and a lot of it is things that you can do with your child that you can guarantee you're going to have a wonderful time. So we're going to get into that later. But first, I'm calling this Mickey Mouse Month. And I should probably come up with a good quality sounder for it because Mickey's turning, can you believe it, 90 years old?
Oh, boy!
Exactly. On November the 18th, That was, well, that's what we call his birthday, but you know, that's actually the release of Steamboat Willie. But, you know, there were a couple of cartoons that almost got released silently before that, like Plain Crazy, and I can't remember the other one is. Eric probably would know if we...
I can't remember. I read about it just the other day, but I can't recall at this moment.
But we're going to have some time. Each week, we're going to talk about some of our favorite Mickey cartoons. And one of the reasons why I've hopped over here with Philip, because I know his absolute favorite is the band concert.
Oh, yes.
And I pulled up a few factoids here. I got to dig them up again. I got to pull it up here. We're using my phone. And, look, I can even project it onto your screen so awesome. Everybody can read that a little better. So, yeah, this is 1935, and this was the first, it was three-strip Technicolor, and it's the very first Mickey Mouse cartoon to actually be in color. Oh, look, and there's the poster. The poster is fantastic. This is an all-star cast. Oh, and Gideon Goat, that's who that fuzzy guy is.
Oh, there you go.
Gideon Goat. I mean, but this has Clarabelle Cow, Dippy Dog, before he became known as the Goof, and then later Goofy, the second ever appearance of Donald Duck. I mean, this is just a great cartoon. So, Philip, this being like your favorite, what's the first time you remember watching it? Do you remember?
Oh, man, I was a little bitty kid. We had lots of different things. We had the Viewmaster, and there's part of, I had that. I had the Viewmaster of it. You remember the Viewmaster?
Mm-hmm. So, the models?
Yeah, the one that you would spin, you know.
Because I know there was one, the regular Viewmaster, where you had the slide thing and you clink and it would be 3D. But there's also the one that played motion.
Yeah, we had that, the motion one.
And we had one of those too. Yeah, I don't think we had anything as cool as Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, we had several. We had Mickey Mouse. We had one of Goofy being a plane, that little glider thing. We had,
I think I remember that.
Yeah, we had the, what do you call it, the ghost one where they would go hunting.
The Lonesome Ghost.
Lonesome Ghost.
Mm-hmm. And then we're going to get to that one later.
Oh, yeah. And then we had this one. And, man, I would watch it again and again and again. Of course, it wasn't the full cartoon. They only had the just parts of it. But I remember I watched it again and again and again. Of course, you didn't have any sound.
No kidding.
And so when we finally got to see it, I fell in love with it. Because of that, first of all, you have to understand, I also love the Lone Ranger.
Yes.
And so when watching it and they had the William Tell Overture, mm-hmm. I went absolutely bananas. And I also always loved the Turkey and the Straw.
Yeah.
And they had both. And plus Donald Duck and Mickey, who are my favorites, and Goofy, though he wasn't known as that at the time when it was made.
Right.
And I went ballistic, absolutely ballistic. And so it is my favorite. I just absolutely love it.
I can't even imagine watching this without the sound. I mean, this... When you think of some of the great cartoons that were even based on audio... And this is going to be some of your favorites, I know, too. But like the big ones you think of is like Looney Tunes, that they used music to really tell the story. And I'm thinking, like, I think it's called The Bunny of Seville, where they do The Barber of Seville.
Oh,
with,
yeah.
Yep.
And then, of course, the best one, What's Opera, Doc?
Yeah.
Where, and I don't know if they borrowed from any famous operas for the music.
They probably did.
They probably did.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it is just using music to tell the story and basing around music is always a great idea. And I think we really owe a lot of it to this one. I mean, the Silly Symphonies, yes. But when you start doing it like this and have this many gags, it's, I mean, that, to basically give the story away, I guess we better inform everybody. So this is Mickey, who's brought his band out into the park. And I love it when they had, in the early days, Mickey Mouse, like, seemed to live out in the country with all his little cartoon pals.
Yeah.
And they're playing music.
Yeah,
and they're all pigs and whatever. And I wonder if the pig has a name. We'll have to look that up,
there
too.
There were two pigs in there.
There might have been, because...
Yeah, there was.
I know characters are playing multiple instruments, so it's kind of difficult to get into it. But so he's putting on a concert, and at first, you know, Donald Duck comes out, and he wants to jump in, so he hops on stage and starts screwing up playing Turkey in the Straw when they're trying to play William Tell.
He's selling hot dogs.
And so, you see how he comes in selling hot dogs and ice cream?
Popcorn. I thought it was popcorn.
Yeah, he had popcorn. Well, he's talking about ice cream, but he mentions hot dogs, which that in his first cartoon, I think that's what he was doing.
His first cartoon was the hen. What was it?
Something about the plucky hen or something.
Yeah, and the popcorn that she's, remember, she's growing the popcorn, and he tries to get it at the end. And
yeah, I don't know if I've seen that one.
Oh, have you not?
I know so there's something like Mickey's first actual spoken words were actually something about a hot dog as well.
Oh, yeah. Hot dog.
Oh, yeah. Because in the when you look at Steamboat Willie, he doesn't say anything.
No, not really.
They're playing music. So that's kind of different. But yeah, when of course you start getting more voice into Mickey, that's of course Walt. And this one, you don't hear from Mickey in this one. The only one has any lines is Clarence Nash as Donald Duck.
Yeah.
And he's mainly just wah, wah, wah. And of course he comes in hot dogs, ice cream, you know, when he's selling stuff. But he keeps interfering. And then of course, like halfway through, it changes around to where We have they play the storm from the William Tell Overture, and a tornado comes through, and just a hilarity, and all. I love this cartoon. But that's like the basics of the plot, so everybody at least can maybe reference what we're talking about. If hopefully you've seen this one. If not, we did find it's on YouTube, so we could have to remind Pixie Heather what it was.
Yeah, I wasn't as familiar with that one as some other Mickey cartoons, so I needed the reminder.
I was in such a mood of it, such a spirit of it. You have to understand, I'm a geek, which... Yes, we knew. But anyway, I came down wearing my slippers, my Mickey Mouse slippers, and I even have a tie of this cartoon. It shows Mickey Mouse, which I'm wearing right now, incidentally. Mm-hmm. Mickey Mouse, you know, for the cartoon, dressed in his, what do you call it, band uniform.
Yeah, a band leader. The funny thing, well, no, I guess some of the other characters have a uniform on.
Yeah.
We do see Clarence.
Goofy. Clarence, Dippy Dog, whatever.
Horse collar, you know, he has his, and he takes his off when he's getting ready to play the storm. It's kind of funny. Yeah. Like, yeah, we're getting serious now.
Yeah, he rips it off.
But yeah, so everybody's got different color uniforms, but Mickey's got his nice red
one. Now, Minnie is not in this one. Which is rare. She's almost in all the old ones, but she wasn't in this. I never thought about that before.
I wonder why she's not. Yeah, I don't know.
Never thought about it.
I wonder about it.
But, you know, I've heard many people say in the past that all the Looney Tunes were the first ones to use classic music, and which is not true. I mean, I love the Looney Tunes. I was wearing a Looney Tune tie when I was preaching today. I'm a pastor. I was preaching today. But the fact is, as much as I love Looney Tunes, this was before that.
Yes, it were.
And Disney used it just as much and before. But but I think it's great that they use classic music. I actually own a lot of classic music, including the two main themes that were used in this, which is Turkey in the Straw and, of course, William Tell Overture. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Which, yeah, that'd be fun to blend.
I'd try if I could.
Well, I wonder if, because at the times with the silent movies and stuff like that, they would always have, you know, music underneath it.
Yeah.
Have the organ player, and that this may just be just an extension of that.
It could be.
Into that they use classical music behind, you know, and then, yeah, I don't know.
It's a good thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would make sense if that was the you know, tradition of the time, is we've got all this classical music, and then, okay, so we start making cartoons, and we just continue putting classical music.
It's a good thought, because back in the silent days, they had no other choice, really. They used to hire organists.
Mm-hmm. In fact, that was Carl Starling's job here in Kansas City before he went to go work at Warner Brothers and put that music together for Looney Tunes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yep, he actually played music for the Laugh-O-Gram Studios cartoons.
Awesome.
In the theater. So Carl Stalling. And he actually did come back and do some work with Disney. I'm not sure specifically what he did, but he's mainly known for Looney Tunes. And he was the one who loved to bring in those classic tunes. And I forgot the one that's very famous. Whenever they'd have machinery going, they'd have like do-do-do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do-do-do, you know. Carl Stalling is the one that thought that would fit perfectly. So he actually brought a lot of those classic tunes into the Warner Brothers. So
I've often thought...
Love that guy.
He's local. Woo-hoo. I've often thought about this. I've thought about how so many of us... I don't talk about all of us that grew up with these cartoons, even the people who have nothing to do with it now, but when they were children, how many of us wouldn't know anything about classical music, wouldn't know anything about the instrumental or anything if it were not for those things that these men delivered to us as children and brought into our knowledge. And to this day, we may not have any idea what it's called, you know, but we do know, you know, people ask me, hey, do you like this? And I'm even going to try to name it, but do you like this and this? No, I've never even heard of that. And all of a sudden they start playing it, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, yeah, I love that. That's when Bugs Bunny came out with, you know, so-and-so. Yeah, no, that's not called that. That's, you know, but I find that I'll look at these classical musics that I buy and I'll say, no, I don't know that one. It starts playing, I find it. No, I've loved that since I was 5 years old.
We know the tunes.
Just like, don't know the name.
Claire de Lune. Yeah, it's a great tune, but you don't know what to call it.
I have no idea what it's called.
I've even found a guy on YouTube that he does collections like songs that you know, but you don't know what it's called.
Yes.
He plays on piano. He's really fun. I cannot pronounce what his name is. He's from somewhere in Europe, I think. But he'll stare directly into the camera with a bland look, and he'll play.
Yes.
And he'll point his finger at one like, oh wait, no, we'll listen to the next part. But he's loads of fun. He's basically being funny, but he introduces you to the names of a lot of these songs. And this one, I like the way, I mean, everybody was familiar with Turkey in the Straw, especially after Steamboat Willie, but in the cartoon you see them change over to the William Tell Overture, and then they even show you when they're going to play the storm, so you know. You know, even with some of the movements of the William Tell Overture, but you know what it is you're hearing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, in 1935, I bet you on radio, you might have already had Lone Ranger by then. I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. And I think people knew it as Lone Ranger. People to this day.
Yeah. And even when I was a kid, it was the Lone Ranger. I didn't realize William Tell Overture.
Yeah, to this day, a lot of people call it the Lone Ranger song.
The Lone Ranger song. And what's What's fun, great, okay, and I did see, like, this was actually arranged by Lee Harleen and Giacchino Rossini. He's got a name like Michael Giacchino does, where it's hard to say, and I bet it's pronounced the same way. But these are the guys that are clever enough to be able to mix the turkey and the straw and William Tell overture together to where it blends so well. And I love how the Donald Duck, of course, just commands that, takes it away from Mickey and has the band going. And of course, even the best parts of that is that Mickey would come down, break his flute, throw it on the ground, give him a dirty look. Donald Duck could have taught David Copperfield a few tricks for sleight of hand.
Yes.
For pulling these flutes, and I love when he plays the audience like nothing up his sleeve and then pulls it out, you know.
The other one, or out the hat.
The final one he pulls out of his hat. But even what's great is when, I guess when we did see his name, he was a goat. Let me pull it back around here. Gideon Goat, who's on the poster, is playing a trombone, he's playing a trombone, and he rings it around Donald Duck, and it shakes him back and forth, and all these flutes just flying out everywhere. That he's been hiding. There's so many great gags, but I think still one of my favorite is where, because I feel it every time, when Mickey Mouse gets hit with ice cream in the back of his neck. And it grows down in there. And it's just like when you were kids and you used to stick ice cubes down in your brother's or sister's back. And it's that same thing where you go, his shoulder's back and the eye up. And then it just turns into Mickey trying to shake it out. And he's do-do-do-do-do-do. And they change the music because he's doing like Egyptian dance to get rid of this, you know, ice cream going down his back.
I was there. I saw your brother do that to you many times. And I loved it. I know it's horrible.
You're so reactive.
Yeah,
to
you're
that.
So sadistic there. Oh, I just
love
that.
I did love it because the way you reacted was absolutely hilarious.
Well, it is pretty darn funny when it's not you.
When it's not you, it's great. When it is you, it's terrible.
We feel Mickey's pain at that point.
Yes. And I mean, it's so great how they timed it to the music. You don't think about that when you're watching it. But until later and you're older, maybe.
Yeah,
but.
I don't know if we had overdubbing available at this point. Because I know Steamboat Willie, they had to record the entire audio in one take.
Yeah, they had
and
to
And I don't
do
know
right
if I know if they'd advanced further enough where they could, you know, record the audio somewhat separately. But still, you have to time it to be perfect in sync with the cartoon. Because all the finger movements are trying to match at least where the beats are. And even some comical stuff with Dippy Dog and the Clarabelle Cow. Where they go across each other's, you know, instruments. It's funny. It's cute.
I realize that I'm going to sound like an old man here. Let it be. But the young people nowadays don't realize just how, of course, we weren't even born then, but they don't even realize how perfectly timed and animated and all these things. I think we take it for granted, but just how great all that stuff had to be. And I applaud all the people who gave what they had for all this.
The timing and the amount of time to get the timing is, you know,
perfect.
The planning. Well, I mean, let's list out some of the animation here. We have Johnny Cannon, Les Clark, who was in charge of Mickey Mouse, Hugo Dorsey, Frenchy de Tremondon. I don't know how to say some of these. There's Clyde Geronimi, which is the same. No, I guess it was similar to one of the music people. Uh-oh, I lost my place. Hudsey Horvath, Dick Humor. Don't say anything about that name, okay? Seriously. Every time his name pops up.
I would
up,
never have thought about it until you said something.
I know, and every time I hear his name on a podcast or I see him connected with a cartoon, I'm like, and his name is, I'm sorry. Jack Kinney, Wolfgang Retherman, Ward Kimball, the great Ward Kimball. Okay, if you don't know his name, we'll do some research on him later. Lord Kimball, one of the original Nine Old Men. I mean, Ward Kimball, great animator. Milt Call, Archie Robin, Louis Schmidt, Dick Williams, Roy Williams, and Cy Young.
Roy.
I mean, those are the great animators who brought this to us. And this was preceded, actually, by The Tortoise and the Hare, and followed up by Mickey's Service Station. Oh, The Tortoise and the Hare. Yeah, I gotta love that one.
Outstanding.
Which, of course, Bugs Bunny has his own version of dealing with The Tortoise and the Hare. And that one's funny because the tortoise is a little rascal, and he's got, like, an engine.
That's
in his
another
one of the only people ever beat Bugs at his own game.
Oh, yes. I love that one. The band, I bet we'll have it. Yeah, Mickey. So we got Mickey Mouse as the conductor, Goofy or Dippy Dog playing a clarinet. Of course, they changed some instruments. Daniel Dog is the fuzzy one. Okay.
Well, now we know.
I thought that was that goat guy. I wonder what. No. Well, the goat guy is on the poster. That's interesting.
See, there's two pigs. I told you.
Yeah, Clarabelle Cow. Then you got Horse Collar, Peter Pig, and Patty Pig on the trumpet and the tuba.
Yeah, I told you.
Well, that's interesting. And of course, our cast, we only have Clarence Nash and Donald Duck. It actually didn't receive any Academy Award nominations, but is actually really highly acclaimed. Even Esquire magazine critic Gilbert Sells says dozens of works produced in America are at the same time of all the other arts can stand in comparison with this one. The Italian conductor Arturo Toscanini was a fan of the big band concert, and he saw it 6 times in the theater and later invited Walt Disney to his home in Italy. And it's actually rated 3rd in the 50 Greatest Cartoons book.
Wow.
I would like to see what all's listed in that book. Me and too. See what they tell about it. But yeah, so this is definitely clearly one of the greatest cartoons of all time. One of.
There's lots.
It's
lots
number 3.
It's one of them.
So this is, and it's a great way, I think, to start out our month. We got, heck, we're only like 17 minutes in. We got more things we can talk about on this of the legacy of Mickey. I thought we'd go on for half an hour.
Well, knowing how much I love, I love Mickey so much. Since I was a little boy, of all the cartoon characters that I love, I mean, I love a lot. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I could mention to you Popeye, and I mean, I could go on. Love all the Looney Tunes. I'd go on. Mickey has got to be number 1 for me. I mean, to me, he's the one that started it all.
Yeah.
Just like Superman is the comic book guy, the superhero that started it all.
Yeah.
Mickey Mouse is the cartoon one. He is. I mean, you just can't have cartoon without Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. And as Walt Disney even said, this was all started by a mouse.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I mean,
although you could give a little credit over to Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yeah, but...
He was taken away.
The point is, though, is
so it became Mickey.
Mickey was the one, though, who was used... The way I see it, fate, if you want to call it that, fate happens for a reason. Who knows? Oswald may not have gone over as big as Mickey for one reason or another.
Well, he did for a while.
He did, but...
Until he was taken away and the Universal
You never know. Maybe the audiences wouldn't have accepted him quite the way they did Mickey. There was just something about his personality that people just loved Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Felix the Cat got dethroned by a mouse, of all things. And that's kind of
funny. Mice defeated the cat.
Exactly. It's almost like a Mighty Mouse.
Yeah. Here he comes. Hey, there's no wrong cats, but Pete is a cat.
I know.
But which would you rather have? Remember the old classic Felix the Cat clock and his tick, tick, you know, his eyes would go back and forth? Or a Mickey Mouse telephone.
Oh, the phone.
Or even a Mickey Mouse watch.
That's what I want. I would love to have a Mickey Mouse watch for Christmas. I love Mickey Mouse.
Sorry, I want the cat.
You want the Felix the Cat?
I want the cat.
There's nothing wrong with
it. Yeah, you get out of here. You're not. Yeah, because you know, those are like the classic iconic little household items that if you have one, it's probably worth millions by now.
Yeah, the old style.
The old style. But they even have one of those old Mickey Mouse phones up in Marceline, I think, in the Toonfest office. Oh, it is so cool. You wouldn't be able to plug it in hardly anymore. You know,
the fact is, Mickey Mouse was so big. He was as big as any Hollywood star in his day. He really was. I mean,
he's got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
Minnie finally got one.
Yeah, and to her credit, Minnie Mouse was kind of overlooked for years. She's also turning 90.
Yes, that's right. You know. I should have looked up some great appearances by Minnie Mouse. Well, one of them, Steve Willie. Well, yeah, but one of my favorite ones, this was kind of funny. This is, because normally, the one that gets stuck with all that luck is my buddy Donald Duck.
Yeah.
But there's one cartoon where Mickey really does get stuck with all that luck. He comes by, Minnie Mouse is baking a cake.
Yes, I love this one.
Oh, that's a great one.
And Mickey comes by and he wants that cake, and Minnie says, "You're such a freeloader," and everything, and Minnie just lets him have it. And he says, I know, I'll clean up the yard. And then it's called The Little Whirlwind. They recently showed it on TCM. This whirlwind comes and just wrecks the place, and Mickey gets blamed for the whole thing.
I love that one.
I love it. That's one of the great appearances of Minnie, because it's one of those, like, you want to explain to Minnie, like, no, it wasn't Mickey's fault for once.
I love Minnie Mouse, she's a sweetheart. But one thing, I always thought it was kind of weird. I was thinking about this the other day. I was reading a book that I bought to read to the children. I watch children at the YMCA.
Why? Because he likes
to. That's right.
Uh-huh.
No, but I was sitting there reading the story to him, and I knew it to be true that she had a little cat.
Oh.
And I thought, this is interesting to me, because that cat is Figaro.
Yeah.
And I thought, how on earth did that cat jump out of the Pinocchio and into the arms of Minnie?
Because everybody loved Figaro.
Oh, adorable.
But we still love Figaro.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But I was trying to think, how, and this is so stupid, I spent about 30, 40 minutes trying to figure out how Figaro jumped out of it's still Disney, but how it jumped out of the universe of Pinocchio, and I'm thinking, you're wasting your time. There's no way to figure it out. You just
go with it.
There are people who have put together the Disneyverse now, though.
Is it really?
They try to connect everything.
Which would be interesting.
What I would like to see connected, because Warner Brothers kind of already did this first in a way, because they did the Looney Tunes show and they had all the Looney Tunes characters living in a town together.
That's fun.
You know, you got the concept of Mickey's Toontown. If you add some of that stuff with Roger Rabbit, what it introduced, I would like to see, because you have Duckburg, and I guess maybe Mickey Mouse lives in Duckburg.
That'd be fun.
You know, why not? Mickey Mouse lives in Duckburg with Donald Duck and all these other characters. So you get all those Disney characters. Granted, now Darkwing Duck, he's out protecting St. Canard, but there's another city in the same world. Mm-hmm.
But you remember, remember the town I came up with? All the villains could live in Evil.
Right.
That's how all the villains could live in Evil. And that would be fun. That would be the little, you know.
But then you have this nice, happy little town where Mickey and DuckTales and Rescue Rangers all happen in that Duckburg
area. That would be great. That'd
unless,
be great.
I don't know.
Tailspin is elsewhere, though. Yeah, it's a little more tropical.
But it's not one of the regular just cartoon characters. The Tailspin characters were like movie characters. I'm talking like your regular
Disney
anthropomorphic to Disney, like from shorts.
But that could be where you comics. Have so
Scrooge McDuck's money bin exists somewhere where Mickey Mouse is having the band
concert. Where Mickey could have his little, what was that called? That TV show where he had his little dinner theater. House of Mouse. He could have that in his little that little town, you know.
Yeah, and I regret I didn't watch more House of Mouse. I think it was on during like X-Men or something.
It was
a
fun show. It was like a '96.
Because they'd show some classics and they had some newer ones.
And you'd have you look out, you'd have villains, and you'd have that'd be fun. Fun idea. Send it in. That's a good idea.
And I think at least with some of the newer Mickey Mouse cartoons, because they've brought in Scrooge McDuck for a couple of things. I haven't been keeping up on the newer Mickey Mouse cartoons, but I think if they've tried to build on that concept, but I'd love to see a series just based on the idea that they all live in one town in the same world, to where wouldn't it be fun to watch, you know, Launchpad and Goofy together?
Oh, yeah.
The adventures they could have together.
Oh, that's a scary thought, because I love Launchpad. And it'd be fun to bring back some of the old people, but the old characters that the kids don't have no idea.
Yeah.
What's the name of he wasn't a duck. His bill came down, but he had the little glasses and the red hair on top of that little, I can't think of his name right
Huey?
Now.
Baby Huey?
No, not Baby Huey. Can't stand him.
I know.
That's from another.
That's a whole other story.
Yeah, I don't want him. That's from Harvey Comics.
Yeah.
No, he was a skinny dude, had suspenders, and he was a friend, had to lose
a Gyro Gearloose?
Yes. Yeah, I could see him, you know, teaming up with people. He was a lot of fun.
Him and Ludwig von Drake inventing something together.
That would be fun.
That would be awesome.
I would love to see that. That'd be great, great fun.
See, I know you're listening to me, Disney. Make it happen. Come on.
Yeah.
I will tweet that to Bob Iger if I have to. Like, we want to see this.
So
Launchpad and Goofy.
You guys probably know. Like, the little singing owl, was that Disney was that?
That's a Warner Brothers.
That's a Warner Brothers.
I love singing. Yeah, that's a great little cartoon.
I like that one, yeah.
Yes, that's a great little cartoon, but we still like Mickey better.
But they got their own owls. They got their own owls, Disney does.
In the 100 Acre Wood and in Bambi.
I got Disney with the TV specials. I usually
Sword watch of the Stone.
Looney Tunes.
Oh, yes. Archimedes! Yes. Yes, and that's one of the things I think has always been the problem with Disney shorts is Looney Tunes were readily available on network TV, even on Saturday mornings.
Yes, you get it. Yeah.
But you couldn't watch Mickey Mouse cartoons unless you bought the Disney Channel.
Back in the day. Mm-hmm. And that was hard.
Yeah.
And we didn't have the Disney Channel, so we watched Looney Tunes.
That's when the Disney Channel was totally worth it, too.
Back in the day.
It's okay now, but back in the day,
But the cartoons themselves, usually a lot of times had to be up early in the morning. And we're talking sometimes they'd show them middle of the night. And
Toon Disney was awful about being in the middle of the night with stuff sometimes.
You're like, man, do I have to get up at 4 in the morning to watch you? Really?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I noticed like when I grew up, I was more and I loved Goofy and Donald more. Because when you'd watch the three of them together, all the, you know, Donald Duck always gets that bad luck. Goofy was always goofing something up. And they sometimes would forget Mickey was around. Like, and then when they're building the boat, you'd get, oh, yeah, Mickey's still here, too. But all the gags were with Donald and Goofy. And so I think I appreciated them more. And I don't think I learned to appreciate Mickey Mouse as much until I went to Walt Disney World and you have some Mickey stuff everywhere. And then, you know, I forgot just how much fun Mickey was until that's the first time I saw Mickey's Fire Brigade is when we were waiting for the bus to go back to the airport that was on a TV. And I just loved it. It was great because it's very, very few times you see Mickey get to be the foil of stuff and actually do something funny instead of just being there to help unite the team of three.
Yeah, because in the future, and by the future,
except for Lonesome Ghost. So Lonesome Ghost, he gets to participate.
Yeah, he gets to be. He's more than just a sweet guy. He's a sweet guy, but yeah. After a while, he does get frustrated.
He's so much sweetened up and Boy Scouted for the parks that you forget how cool he was.
Yeah, because
he was day, and he was a rascal.
You can be nice, mm-hmm. and yet still have your moments that you're a little ornery too.
Yeah.
You know.
And you got to get into some straight Mickey Mouse cartoons where he's on his own and not with Pluto or whatever, because that becomes a Pluto thing. But when you watch stuff, and we'll get into some of these later when we get into him through the Looking Glass, which I adore that one as well.
Yeah, it's a cute one.
Stuff where Mickey's on his own and he's allowed to have adventures is when he's at his best. Yeah. Like even the more recently, Runaway Brain. Mickey gets to be this like the hero of the story. I'm glad we're getting into this because we're getting to sum up the 90 years of Mickey kind of to get introduced. But throughout the month of November, we're going to talk about at least some of our favorite cartoons.
I love the one,
get as many as we can.
I should probably say this, but because you might be waiting for this, but I love the one where he's scared at night and he thinks that there's somebody in the house. Remember that one where the shoes get attached to his gun?
Oh,
that's a great one. The shoes get attached to his gun, and they get wrapped around on the back of his gun, and they're kind of going up the stairs with them.
And
the noise. I think we all have been through that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our minds are getting the better of us. That's great. Kicking him.
I'm thinking of some of the black and white ones where that's a color one, because I'm thinking like of some of the scary ones that he's in the haunted house where he gets forced to play the music one. But there's also one with the mad doctor that he has this nightmare and you don't realize his dream until the end, but he thinks this mad scientist has kidnapped Bluto and he's wandering through that creepy house. I was thinking about that, so I can't think of. Yeah, well, that's so the Mad Doctor is the play one, but I cannot think. I know I've seen this one you're talking about.
Yeah, he's going.
But I can't think of which one it is.
And the light bulbs fall down. Yeah, bah, bah, bah,
bah, bah. Yes, I can see it all, but I can't think of any more than that.
Yeah, I love it.
Dang it, which cartoon is that, though?
I can't remember the name of it.
Oh,
the titles don't come to me very well.
Somebody get on Twitter, send us an email, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Remind me what that one is. I probably got it on my DVD set thing I had to find my own way to get, because doggone it, Disney, release them where we can afford them, and don't do the re-audioed Have a Laugh one. I don't want the Have a Laugh one. I want the original audio.
I will pay, I'm not kidding, I'll pay a good amount for the entire collection, but I think that they
can't break us, you know, we can't afford it.
The thing is, I learned a long time ago, I mean, some companies have learned this. If they will bring them out and affordable, more people will buy them. And they'll make more money that way.
Yeah, that's what the Disney Afternoon DVD sets are always affordable. And that's why I think they sell, because people, you know, there are people our age that like, oh my gosh, my kids would love this. I love this. And they're sitting, and I've even seen people on Facebook, they said, the modern cartoons are so dumb. I don't let my kids watch those. I go and I grab cartoons I used to love, and we said my kids love those.
My nephews and nieces are nuts. Over the Looney Tunes, over the Tom and Jerry's, over Popeye, and some of the Disney. But they don't really care much about the modern stuff.
Yeah, the gags just aren't as good anymore. Even SpongeBob, which started out really funny, as you go further along, it just declines. And like, this isn't as funny as it was before.
The recent ones are not funny.
Because something about the original SpongeBob, they had that same thing going on with like the classic cartoons. They had that same mentality. They let a gag develop.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's so fast-paced, you don't have time to really get the joke across properly. Yeah. They're trying to rapid-fire the jokes, but sometimes to get the best laugh, you have to build it.
Yeah.
And work it up, and then it's funnier, and then you appreciate it more.
Yeah.
And then we remember it. I can't think of, well, other than some early SpongeBob, some of the gags I remember, I can't remember a lot of the jokes out of a SpongeBob cartoon, even if I maybe just watched it. But I can watch a Mickey Mouse, and I can go back and tell you some of the gags that are all, I love this, and I love when this happens,
it's a classic.
And when this happens. Like in Goofy, one of Goofy's best things in The Lonesome Ghost, when he fights for the dresser drawer.
Yeah.
I got him, Mickey! And he strangles himself, blah, 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 and he sticks the pin in his own backside.
Well,
I'll never forget that, because that's genuinely funny.
Every year I watch that.
He takes time to build it up, because he's doing the mirror gag with the ghost, and
that's great. I love it.
That's comedy, folks. That's what
I'm brave.
I'm brave, but I'm careful. And then Ghostbusters owes Goofy for I ain't a scared of no ghost. That's right.
That's very awesome.
So all month long, we're going to be celebrating Mickey Mouse every weekend, and probably we're going to focus on one cartoon, but we'll probably end up going into more. So
Mickey.
Yeah,
we love you, buddy.
But we know because Lost Boy Eric, I know he had brought up Mickey's trailer, and that That's one I think one of the early ones I remember. And that's one of the ones where Mickey's fairly funny, but that's also the ones where Donald and Goofy really have some of the best gags, especially boiling down to, hey, who's driving? I'm driving! You know,
that's, I knew that corncob gag before I saw the cartoon because Dad had seen the cartoon, and when we would eat corn off the ears, like, he would make that, make that, yeah. But
we'll get into that one next week when we have Eric on here, because that's one of the ones that he mentioned on his list of some of his favorites. So definitely Mickey's trailer, and that's, I love that one too. It's hard to mention one of these things that I don't love, really.
Yes.
So, yeah. Yep. All right, so next up, we're going to talk to Ben about his son Zach and autism, and it's great. I learned a lot in the conversation. I think you will too.
To Disney and beyond.
All right, we've got something very special and different here on the podcast for you. This may be the most educational segment I think I've ever done, other than telling people about a little bit of Disney history or stories behind some various movies. This actually is information that I'm hoping a lot of you are going to find helpful, because I know I am not that well informed with autism, and so this is a good chance to be informed with autism. Also, if you happen to have autistic children, this may help you plan a Disney trip on what you can do to make sure your child has a fantastic time in the parks. And so I'm right now on the line with Mr. Ben Goodman over in the UK. Hello.
Hi there.
And that's how they greet people in the UK.
sorry. It is. It's usually a hello, mate, or hello. That's as far as we go.
See? Culture.
Short, blunt, and to the point. No, thank you for having us on.
You're very welcome. And what's fun about this is, actually, with all my education, well, I've had a class assignment where I was supposed to dive into some sort of a social media thing to help promote something. And so I was running across Twitter because I was supposed to find people worth following. And I saw what this site was about on the Twitter page, which, by the way, it is just at Zach's Adventures on Twitter.
It is, yes. That's our Twitter handle.
Z-A-K for the spelling of Zach. You also have a great YouTube channel, which I've went and I've taken a look at some videos. You got some fun stuff, and I've shared stuff here on, I think I've shared both on Facebook and Twitter, so make sure y'all check it out. It's also Zach's Adventures on YouTube, right?
On YouTube, it's Adventures with Zach. We couldn't have both, so we had to swap them around. Somebody beat us to it.
But you started vlogging basically some of the life and helpful stuff with your son and his autism. So for starters, explain autism to us.
Autism is a spectrum, and it's every child is different. So there's no one case that can be set against another. Like I say, every child is very different. Some have different traits, different behavioral issues, but there's this whole stigma on it that you know, a child has autism and that's it, they're naughty, they're spoiled, they act up, which isn't a fair representation of them. So that's why we created the channel, was to break it down for how it is for us, how it is, and we're going to try and get other families involved as well as we move along. But like I say, it's really just to take that stigma away and show that, you know, these are people that they want love, they just want to be accepted, and it's not what everybody thinks it is. So that's our mission with it at the moment.
So how would you explain what it's like for an autistic child? Because the only things I understand is sometimes they don't quite understand some social norms, and they have a hard time adjusting to various things.
Yeah, there's a lot of sensory that goes on with it, especially with Zach. Very loud noises can really upset him. He's not too bad with lights, but I know there are other children that do suffer with different lighting, different lighting effects. Even something as simple as going into a supermarket, just the lights that they have up on there, that can be enough to set them off. Like I say, sound as well. Very loud noises or high-pitched noises can aggravate them, and that's why, if you like say with the videos, you'll see Zach has got ear defenders on a lot of the time.
So it's almost like they're extra sensitive, like their senses are kind of, you know, very sensitive to things that, you know, they kind of just hit the wrong nerve in their brain or something.
Yeah, very much so. It's got to be uncomfortable. Zach's non-verbal, so he can't talk to us yet and tell us what it is that's upsetting him. So we have to read his body language, his behavior, and adjust accordingly to that. So, yeah, it's like I say, and it's different for every child. Some children are okay with louder sounds. Some are very sensitive to sound. The same with lighting, communication as well. It's a very big list.
So, from what I've understood, and I don't know if this is correct, but as a child gets older, they either kind of learn to adjust and they can actually deal with it a lot better, or does autism one of those things that kind of develops away? I mean, how does that come about? I mean,
I wouldn't say that it goes away. I say that the child learns to manage themselves better. The parents or carers also seem to. It's really weird. Without the language, like I say, Zach's nonverbal, so there's no language, but you learn to read the body, which is absolutely crazy. But you can sense when something's not right or something's about to happen. So you're more on hand, ready before it does happen as they get older. And you've been around it more, you learn more and see the signs that are coming.
But as he gets older, right now he's nonverbal, but eventually he will learn great ways to communicate, and he'll grow and develop, and he'll adapt, and he'll probably just be stronger in a lot of things than the rest of us because he's had to develop in a different way than a lot of other people. So he might actually be really impressive as he gets older.
Yeah, fingers crossed. We do work on this over here. It's called PECS, which is the simplest way of explaining it is picture communication. So in the kitchen, we have a board, and it'll have his favorite biscuits, crisps, milk, juice, and stuff like that on it. So if he wants something, he can go up, pick that up, and bring it over to us. And that's his way of communicating at the moment.
Yeah. So it's developing.
He's getting there. He's now started school. His words are starting to come on a lot more, and that's what we're going to try and put on our next series of vlogs. Hopefully, we'll be seeing him talking a lot more as well.
Awesome. Which would be fun if he starts learning to talk while he's still missing those two front teeth there.
Yeah, they're slowly coming through, but they are taking their time.
I was in the exact same shape there. I think when I was like 7 years old, I lost both of those top front. I can't even talk now, see? But I lost my two front teeth over the course of a summer, and everything with like this, I couldn't get around it. It would have been more fun if I'd have lost them close to Christmas time, because then I could have been singing that song that all I wanted for Christmas was my two front teeth. Hopefully that becomes one of Zach's favorite songs, because it's coming up on Christmas. And well, although I guess the video I've seen is from May, though, so...
The last Florida trip was in May, but there will be another load of them coming up at Christmas as well.
Awesome. So you all are apparently big Disney fans.
Yes, it was kind of embedded in me when I was a child. I was lucky enough for my parents to take us there quite often, and I've carried that tradition on, so Zach's stuck with it now.
What all parks have you been able to visit?
We've only done Orlando. We've done all the parks in Orlando.
Awesome.
We've looked at Paris. It might be something we do next year. California's on our wish list. And as the years go further along the line, we will look further. Tokyo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal. We don't want to hit that too early.
Yeah, Paris might be an easier travel for you. You could almost drive. Well, no, I guess not. If you're on an island, you can't drive. But you're closer by, being, you know, you're already in Europe. It's probably got to be an easier flight than when they go into Orlando, I would figure.
Yeah, it would be, but we like a nice long break. With the Paris park being a little bit smaller, there's, you know, a lot of people have long weekends. I think week would you'd max out there. So that's why Orlando's always been our destination. There's so much to do. You can make it a 2-week holiday, and it's sunny all the time.
Yeah.
Just something in Europe we don't get in this side of it.
Yeah, and I wouldn't want to go to Paris until they finish whatever they're doing to the Phantom Manor. They've been working on it for a long time. They're sprucing it, so I want to see the final version. On my first trip to Paris, I'll be like the target. It's like the Phantom Manor and that dragon.
Yeah, the dragon underneath the castle. That's very impressive to see. That's one thing definitely on the list.
Okay. But so we know that you have to take a long flight to Orlando. What type of things can you do with Zach to keep him, you know, because you've already got loud noises, so I figure he's got his headphones on. But how does he deal with being able to have to sit still like that on a plane?
Lucky enough, before our first flight in 2016, This is why we got into YouTube. I was looking online because obviously we knew Zach was autistic and it was going to be a difficult flight. So I was looking to see if anybody had done anything with like recommendations or any help. And I couldn't really find a lot. I did come across one article. There was a brief part. It was some lady that had been to Virgin Atlantic training base and they'd taken her around for the day. So I thought, okay, we'll give that a look. Emailed them and they got back in contact and said, yeah, sure thing, come up for the day. So we went down for the day and they were fantastic. We, Lady Geraldine there, she took us in, explained what we was going to do for the day, made sure Zach was okay, took us round. It's where they do all their staff training. So there was mock-ups of planes and everything, the cockpit. And we had 3 or 4 hours of just walking around, letting Zach get used to just the simplest things like a chair. He'd never been on an airplane, so he didn't know what the chairs were. So we let him have some time in there. And they really did help start to finish that day. And as we left, they took our details. We got to boarding on the day. They knew who we were. They knew we was coming. Everything was set in place, ready to go. It was fantastic. We wouldn't have been able to do the holiday without that. So we get on the plane, and then it's down to us, and it's the usual things. Lucky enough, technology's come on so far now. He has a Nintendo Switch, he has an iPad, everything to keep him busy and occupied for the flight, which works well because otherwise we wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah. So that's, I think if I had a long flight, I don't know if I would go kind of nuts myself without something. Like the one time that I've flown, when I went to Walt Disney World, I had my laptop with me and I had movies loaded onto it. So I was sitting there, but I was so twitchy and excited because I'd never been before that I couldn't even sit still to watch a movie. I was like, oh, I don't know. So I put my headphones in to listen to some music and I was just bouncing the seat like, oh, this is awesome. This is awesome. So it's just the ride home that's a little depressing. You're like, okay, now I got to have a movie because I got to go home.
Yeah. Well, lucky enough, our flight home, we board like late evening, so Zach has a good sleep, so he's out for 3 or 4 hours, so it's half the flight done already for him.
Yeah, I could have done with a good sleep on the way home because I remember we flew through a storm and I guess the plane goes over top of it, but you still feel those wind currents and that turbulence, and that plane started shaking and I was gripping the edge of my chair like, oh my gosh, we're gonna die. I don't fly well, I guess, but it's worth it for the destination. So was this this May trip that you have this video of, was that Zach's first time to Walt Disney World?
No, that was his second. We thought about vlogging the first time because, like I say, we couldn't find much of it online. But being that it was his first time, we wanted to enjoy it in the moment. We didn't want to relive it for a lens or worry about what we was going to capture and making sure everything was right on how we wanted it to come across. So we left the cameras at home on that trip and decided to do it on our last one in May.
Ah, well, that makes sense. So what was his reaction when he first got into Disney Park and, when he kind of understood what was going on and maybe saw, like, a beloved character? I mean, what was that like?
It was definitely overwhelming for him, as I'm sure it is for anybody. But it was – that's where we're lucky as well because, again, it's with the modern day, the way things are. Before taking the flights, going on the holidays, you sit down, you watch other people's vlogs. We watched people like Tim Tracker, Get Binky, the Hayes family. So that kind of prepared him. He knew what was there. Actually seeing it for the first time, his face just lit up. It was amazing, something that we'll never forget. And the same when we returned, I managed to get that one on film. His eyebrows are twitching and he knows he's back and he's got a fun 2 weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do love the moments you have with Stitch. So was Stitch one of his favorite characters?
He is now. After that interact, I don't know what it was. Because Zach had never watched a Stitch film. We'd never put it on. Everything's more modern now, isn't it, with Pixar?
Yeah.
So that character just, I think it was the third time we went to see him on that one trip. He come over, he got Zach out of his buggy and just made a fuss of him. And from there, that's it. We have Stitch everything at home now. It's Stitch teddies, mugs. But yeah, so Stitch is definitely one that we look forward to seeing every time we return.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm one of them people who I went into Stitch's Great Escape, and I absolutely loved it. And apparently I'm not supposed to have or something. I'm supposed to hate it. Like, why am I supposed to hate it? I love Stitch.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant ride. And the one before that, Alien Encounter, I was lucky enough to experience that. I really enjoyed that. And like you say, we're not meant to, but yeah, that was a good ride.
Yeah, I never got to experience the original version. So I'm thinking that might have made some of the difference. Because I think some of the people who have problems with Stitch's Great Escape just really want that Alien Encounter back.
Yeah, I don't think they bring that back. It's not very Disney-like or child-friendly.
It's a bit scary. Yeah. Although I guess at the Tokyo Disneyland, they're allowed to have some scary things around Halloween compared to what we do in the States. So I was watching some video of about all the different little kind of haunted attractions they actually set up every year. And they'll even do it based off a villain. They had one where Dr. Facilier was even a big part of being scary. And I was like, well, that would actually be fun. And I think they should do that in the States, you know, use the villains in a scary fashion to where like, aha, you know, you are in the clutches of Ursula, you know, something.
Yeah, like they have the party events. You can't see why they do two or three of those aimed at more older children.
Yeah, you just point out that this is where it is, so don't bring your 3-year-old in there, but you know.
Let the rest of us enjoy it as well.
Yeah, we can enjoy a good scare. Even Jack Skellington says so.
Exactly.
Oh, so what is the best thing you found when you bring Zach into a park and you know there's going to be all kinds of, maybe a parade's going to be coming through, you know, there's something's going to be loud, there's going to be a lot of movement, a lot of things happening. What's the best way that you can prepare him to be able to enjoy it?
Like I say, his ear defenders are a game changer. Without them, I don't think we'd be able to take the trips. It really does take the sound away. But we've also found, with the first time we went, we didn't take a buggy, so we were hiring the Magic Kingdom strollers, and we got the one that has a canopy come over, and Zach kept pulling that over every time it was enough for him. He was having too much, so it was like, you know what, this seems to work. So trips since then, we've either bought a buggy out there, or for our next trip, we've actually just bought a special buggy because he's getting bigger now, and it has the canopy on it, so he can let us know when he's had enough and he needs a break, and he'll take himself off in there, pull the cover down, sit on his iPad, watch some videos, have 10-15 minutes to himself, and be set, ready to go again after that.
Awesome. Yeah, I've actually even heard one of my professors, I was talking to him about this conversation, and he mentioned that they have even Disney has a location you can actually go to that's a nice little quiet space where you can come and just chill out if you happen to need that. So did you find that and make use of it?
We have seen that, and it was definitely something that we would use if it became too much where Zach couldn't self-regulate enough. It would be somewhere we'd go and have a couple of hours. But he seems quite content on shutting himself off for a little while, like I say, 10-15 minutes, refresh, and then he's good to go again. But it is definitely a thing out there for other people to look into.
Oh, yeah. So what's other ways that you felt Disney actually had something to help out for, you know, if your son's special conditions, you know, will they let you get, like, I know that you can get a pass to where you can just fast pass you into lines, because I have read something where this mother who's trying to file a lawsuit against Disney claiming they're not doing enough because her child can't manage to stand in a line because he has to have like a schedule for everything, and so it throws him off somehow or another just waiting in line. And I don't know if you find that to be a problem where Zach has a hard time in a line, and if Disney can actually, well, here, we'll get you, let's pass you in a little bit so you don't have to wait as long to get onto an attraction.
Yeah, no, we do use the DazzPass, and we use the new version. We never got to use the old version, but from the difference in them, I think the new version is better, and I know that's not going down well, and like you say, there's lawsuits against Disney, but they're making the effort. The old version, it used to just go to the front of the ride, show them your pass, they let you straight on. Which, obviously, I know children suffer in line. Zach is one of them. So I can see why they did that, but it was misused and abused by other people that didn't have conditions.
Right.
But I'm more for the new version, which is we go up to the front of the line. We have the passes on our bands, and they look at the ride time for existence. Pirates of the Caribbean, it's 55 minutes wait. So they say to you, okay, 55 minutes, scan your band. You go back in 55 minutes and you go in the fast pass lane. So, yes, you have to wait the same as everybody else, which is I'm all for, because we paid the same money to be there as everyone. Mm-hmm. It just gives you that opportunity to go and wait somewhere more quiet, or go and get someone to eat, or like I say, just off to the side in the buggy where he's more comfortable. I feel that way's better.
Oh, yeah. That actually makes a lot of sense to me, too. Like, okay, we're still going to wait like everybody else, but now we don't have to stand in line, so we can go and get a churro, you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And I think that works a lot better. Rather than, like I say, because people misuse the last system, and right. the rules in the States are a lot different to the UK. It's like if we go to a UK park, we have to have doctor's notes and proof and all that, which I'm all for, and I know you can't change the laws out there and just jump on that and say, okay, well, if you want that pass, you're going to have to provide all this information. So I think Disney have balanced it up well, and in my eyes, they've got it right. Like I say, we still have to wait the same as everybody else, which is only fair.
Yeah.
But we get the chance to wait off somewhere else and what's best for the child and their needs at that point.
Yeah, I'm sure it works out pretty well for Disney, too, because while you're waiting, you're like, oh, look, there's a shop over there. Let's go buy something.
Exactly. Let's spend some more money.
So you're completely prepared. So what's Zach's favorite attraction?
He loves Buzz Lightyear Spin. Like I say, the lights aren't too – Zach enjoys the lights, but he loves just being able to move. Zach's one for spinning is another trait of autism. So he will grab that stick, pull it as hard left as he can, and that's it. We're going around the whole ride just spinning. There's no point even trying to hit the targets. he loves that. And this is getting older. He's starting to really enjoy the roller coasters now. Everest was a big one for him last year. In May. He absolutely loved Everest. And because we'd watched it a few times before going, so he was ready for it. He knew as we come up to where the broken tracks were, he was pointing, he was looking, and he knew we were heading backwards. So he was prepared, and he absolutely loved it.
Oh, that's great. Oh, which I got to wonder how he must have loved even the – I love the Kilimanjaro Safari. So how was it going through and seeing all the animals? Was he excited about that?
Yeah, he's not one for animals. To him, it was just a car drive around the field. He'd look over, he'd see them, he'd look back. He's like, okay, yeah, this isn't thrilling enough for me.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a bit of an adrenaline junkie at a young age.
I guess so. this car's moving too slow. Let me take a nap. Wait me when we're done looking at animals.
Exactly. It suits us fine. He's not going to be scared of the rides as he gets older then.
Yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Because I would think, like, I know when I was a little kid, I loved animals, which is probably appropriate that I married a biology teacher. Because... So to me, I mean, that would have been, when I was a kid, the biggest thrill, going around and seeing the lions and things in the animal kingdom. I would have just went crazy.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance? Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go on.
I was about to ask, actually, go a different direction, but did you get a chance to check out any of the new Pandora attractions while you were there?
Yes, we did. It's breathtaking out there. It really is something else. And if that's the new standard of theming in parks, then everything we know growing up is finished. It is crazy. But that Flight of Passage, I still can't find words to describe that 6 months on.
Well, so now you and Zach have that in common. I'm sure he was just as thrilled.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he won't put the glasses on, but to him, he was still being thrown around, and we was on the back of a Banshee. It was, yeah, so really looking forward to getting back on that one as well.
And if that's what they did for Pandora, I can't imagine how cool it's going to be when the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge opens.
Oh, it's going to be mad. It's going to be busy, but hopefully they've accounted for that. And it's just going to be, like I say, the level of theming and immersiveness is going up. So the future is just going to be amazing for us all to see.
So is Zach a big Star Wars fan?
He's starting to get into it. I will make sure that he is a big fan by next year.
Yeah, I can't wait to see that just being a child and loving Star Wars and walking into that land is going to be amazing. Even if you're a big 41-year-old kid like me, you know.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know Zach's going to be blown away, but I'm going to be worse. I think I'm going to be running down and looking at everything and
Yeah, and I can tell that you and Zach have a lot of fun together. There's that nice clip there when you're before you go into Stitch, you and Zach kind of goofing around and even spinning around. You mentioned he likes to do that. Some fun in the video. So it seems like you two just have a very special relationship. Do you think that it changes the way a father and son reacts when, you know, they have, you know, autistic child that you get to bond in different ways? Do you think it's kind of different and special?
Zach's my only child, so I wouldn't know the difference. But yeah, definitely you have to give them a bit more time and understand them, not any more than you would any other child. It's I don't know. I think if he was autistic or not, I'd still put as much in as I can. But yeah, there's definitely the language barrier. Maybe you do have to put in a little bit more. But I'm always a big kid, and I'm always going to throw him around and mess about as much as I can, as embarrassing as it is to others.
That's okay. You're having fun. It's your son, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense to me. Oh, my goodness. So did he have, like, a particular area? And, I mean, of the four parks that there, does he have a favorite park?
Water parks is a complete different day to theme parks for us. We managed to get his ear defenders off after doing one ride. It's a lot more chilled out, a lot more laid back. He loves the water. You've seen the Typhoon Lagoon one, then waves are coming. He knows what's coming because we've watched it and we've been before. And he just loves them waves. And as soon as they hit him, he comes up, he's laughing. And it's like, right, let's go again. Yeah, the water parks are definitely his favorite days out. And also the Speedway at Magic Kingdom. he loves that. Anything to do with cars, wheels, driving, Zach's there. So he gets to sit in that seat, hold the steering wheel, and to him, he's driving around that track.
Yeah, I saw that part of the video. That was fun. His face is just lit up as he's going around. And then what's funny is you can see some people on the track over next to you that they're going like bumper to bumper, these two cars. I'm like, wait a minute. Aren't they breaking the rules over there?
I see that. There's a guy on his phone. He has to do a double take to see Zach come flying past him.
My goodness. Yeah, wouldn't that actually be fun, though, that it turns out when Zach grows up, he wants to drive race cars?
I'd love it if he did. Yeah. It's a lot of money to be made and we get to travel the world, and I'm sure he'd take me along with him.
Especially if he's going to Disney, got to take the family back along with him.
Exactly. That's what we're doing it for now. So he owes us when he gets older.
That seems like a pretty good plan. So have you managed to get over and check out anything over at Universal, like the Harry Potter area?
We haven't taken Zach to Universal. We didn't go 2016. My other half went with her other son. We didn't go last year. It's definitely something we didn't feel that at Zach's age there was enough there for him to warrant spending the extra money on the tickets. But as he gets older and he gets taller so he can do the bigger rides, we'll definitely be heading over there.
Oh, yeah, because if he follows after his mom, apparently he's going to be a big Harry Potter fan.
Exactly. So yeah, as soon as he can get on the rides, he'll be there.
Oh yes. Oh yeah. And especially, you know, with, you know, there's a Spider-Man ride in there, so, you know, obviously I'm big on that. So I've got to get over there myself. Which even we were talking before we started recording that you're wanting to go over into Disneyland, and now they're building that Marvel Land over there. So has he grown into a bit of a Marvel fan yet?
Little bit. He knows Spider-Man. He looks at Spider-Man. But again, they're always on in our house, so he's got no choice. he will like Marvel. And that's the thing about when we're at Orlando, because of the rides, I'm not going to go into that. You don't have it in Disney. So if he does get into that, then obviously Universal will be the place we go for that when he's tall enough to ride the Hulk. Enjoy the Spider-Man as well.
Oh, yes. So he'd be a kid after my own heart if he loved some Spider-Man.
Yeah, like I say, he's got no choice. He's going to have to.
But basically, overall, I think the big tips we've learned is having those headphones that kind of help block some noise. Give him a way, even a buggy of sorts seems to be helping really well. So if he gets overstimulating, having that way to where he can just kind of chill out, have a little iPad or something there to give him 10, 15 minutes. And it seems to be also very important to give him a chance to watch some videos, and so he knows what to expect when he gets there. So it's stimulating and fun, but not super stimulating and stressful for him. That seems to be the most useful things.
Exactly. And also, we didn't find this out until last trip. If you do have their own buggy, or even if it's a rental buggy, you can ask to use the buggy as a wheelchair. So that means that you can, in the queues for the characters, usual places that you'd have to leave them behind, you can take them in, which, again, because there's no fast pass for character meets, so you can end up waiting 20 minutes, half an hour in a line to meet Stitch or somebody like that. So if you've got your buggy, that can really change it up. So make sure to get the, I think it's a red badge at any of the guest service areas. Because, again, that will make waiting in lines a lot easier.
Awesome. So
definitely something, like I say, we didn't know it the first trip. We're glad we know it now, so we're more prepared. And that will be in the next videos to put out there for other people to see as well.
Awesome. Any other tips that you think we should tell everybody if they bring their autistic children into the parks?
Go with the airflow. It's like with Zach, especially on our last trip. Again, it was one of his centuries. He just didn't want to wear his shorts. So he was in jeans. It's May. It's hot. So we're just like, okay, we can fight with you at the villa all day trying to get your shorts on, or we can go out. We'll enjoy the morning. As soon as you're getting too hot, we're coming away. And that's exactly what we did. You don't force it. You know, we let Zach dictate the day. When he's had enough, then we'll go home. There's no point trying to push him too far.
Awesome. All right, so remind everybody how they can find you all on YouTube and Twitter.
On Twitter, we are Zach's_adventures, and that's Zach's with a Z-A-K. And YouTube, we are Adventures with Zach.
And I'll make sure I put some links up here in the show notes so everybody can come and check it out and have some fun with Zach, because he is definitely having some fun. And it delighted me even seeing in the videos all the fun he was having. It just made me feel like a kid, too.
Yeah, and now's a good time because we're heading back in 6 weeks.
Awesome.
So we'll be back over there, and we're going to be there for Christmas as well. So hopefully we'll manage to capture that. Toy Story Land, we've not experienced that yet either. So,
yeah,
we're really looking forward to that. We're already sitting at home, and we're watching everybody else's vlogs as the decorations are going up. And we're like, come on, 6 weeks, let's go.
All right. Well, I hope you all have a fantastic Christmas trip then. And a huge thank you for coming on here, because I feel like I learned a few things.
All right. Thanks for having us, and thanks for giving us the opportunity to talk about it as well.
Awesome.
Thank you for listening to the Neverland Podcast.
We invite you back next week for more fun and adventure.
Until then, remember to keep a pixie in your pocket.
It's that young at heart, positive attitude that you can share with others.
And remember to visit our website at neverlandpodcast.com.
There you can find links to our news page, our shop,
our contact page, where you can easily send an email to podcast@neverlandpodcast.com.
You can also find our Neverlanders page, where you can find out how to become an official Lost Boy or Pixie, because girls are too clever to get lost.
Become a real Neverlander.
Please feel free to leave us a voicemail at 816-226-6492.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at NeverlandPCast.
And like our Neverland Podcast fan page on Facebook.
We also have a group on Facebook for you to join.
We also appreciate your support to keep the Neverland Podcast up and running.
Visit patreon.com/neverlandpodcast to donate to keeping the pixie dust alive.
Copyright content featured on the Neverland Podcast is copyright of their respective creators and used under fair use license.
All original content is copyright of Blue Band Productions, and a very special thanks to Yeehaw Bob Jackson at yeehawbob.com for our new ending music.
God bless!
Yeah! Hello everybody, this is Yeehaw Bob Jackson. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Neverland Podcast, it's true. Neverland Podcast, we love you. Yeah!
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
What if I told you that you can support your blood pressure and healthy CoQ10 levels with 2 chews a day? The new Super Beats Heart Chews Advanced is now supercharged with CoQ10. That's like getting CoQ10 for free. Our powerful blend of beetroot, grapeseed extract, and CoQ10 supports your cardiovascular health. Visit RadioBeats.com and find out how you can get a free 30-day supply on bundles and save 15% with the promo code DEAL.